Morning. I would like to convene this meeting of the Human Resource Committee. We're a few minutes late, not too bad, but hopefully, according to Barbara's, we're not quite as late as mine says, so about 10 minutes. So I'd like to start off, first of all, with an approval of the minutes from the April 2nd meeting. All right, we have a first and a motion and a second, and so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, our second item is public comments. Do we have anyone in the public who would like to say something in regard to HR in general or our agenda for today? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to item three. Today we're going to be doing a review of the town non-discrimination policies, and I would like to thank Councilwoman Whitley for bringing this topic to the forefront. And so we'd like to hear some thoughts. Are we going to hear, Megan, from you in regard to this? Eric?
Oh, sure.
Mr. DeMora?
Yes. Hi,
thank
good
you.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning. Well, a couple things. One is that most of our non-discrimination references occur in our human resource guidelines. And but by and large, I could sum it up without having to go through each location and say that our language comes directly from what's currently existing in Title VII. And so it prohibits discrimination on things that you all know this, race, color, religion, gender, national origin, disability, age, genetic information, or any other status protected by a law. It does not go, our references do not go as far as to include some items that others have, other states have, other cities have, that go as far to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Those are not included. So that is, in general, how internally our regulations are set up. Externally, meaning outside the town, when it comes to things, you know, we don't extend those same protections for those two classes, if you will, when it comes to public accommodations or to housing. And that, in my mind, describes the playing field today. Is that mm-hmm. in a nutshell?
Exactly.
Right on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where we are, Ms. Landing.
Okay. So would anyone like to comment on this?
Yes, I would. Oh, do we want to open it to public comment?
Yeah, well, actually,
you want to do public comment first?
Does anyone, we had public comment in general, but now that we're on this topic, does anyone from the public want to comment on this topic? Okay, yes.
So I can
yes, please.
From, okay.
Now, if you could, and also let state your name and your address, please.
Well, I have to say, my name is Chase Glenn. I'm the executive director of the Alliance for Full Acceptance, which is a Charleston County-based nonprofit that works with the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. I'm personally not a town of Mount Pleasant resident.
Okay. Okay.
So just put that out there. And I'm here just to speak in favor of updating language within hiring policies within the town of Mount Pleasant, as well as non-discrimination policies around housing and public accommodations. Generally speaking, I can tell you that, you know, I've had personal stories told to me from members of the LGBT community where they have experienced discrimination. And so anytime that we can put policies and ordinances in place that support non-discrimination, it's a good thing for everyone. It's good for business. It's good for prospective home buyers who are looking to move into areas that are supportive. And it's something that I'm glad you're considering.
Thank you very much.
Can I ask Mr. Glenn a question? Sir? When you mentioned that you've heard stories of discrimination, have those stories referenced Mount Pleasant?
I can tell you that I have had people from across the Lowcountry and Mount Pleasant, and I probably should have gathered specifics before today, but I can tell you that they've been people in Charleston County, and I would have to go and look at my records to see exactly, you know, if they've been Mount Pleasant residents.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
So for me, looking at this language, there is non-discrimination language in our ordinance for public assemblies and parades. And that does include the language sexual orientation and gender identity. So I think that there is a missing place in our ordinance that our HR policy can be actually codified in the ordinance and include the language that's already in our code, that the non-discrimination language that is broader. Because right now there is ambiguity over at the state level and at the federal level, and it has not been litigated in this jurisdiction that sex includes sexual orientation and gender identity. So I think that to clarify things for our town, and this is something that has been done by the city of North Charleston, by the city of Charleston, by Folly Beach, by Columbia, they have all adopted some more expansive language that removes any ambiguity as to whether or not there is that these categories are protected classes. So I think my recommendation would be to move forward with language in our ordinance that removes any ambiguity as to whether these are protected classes for the town of Mount Pleasant.
I have another comment, but if you'd like to,
you can go first.
I think that's a very solid point. Absolutely agree. The only reason I'm stuttering is because I know that we are already looking now to change our language a little bit. Also, we talked about this in regard to the ADA, American Disabilities Act, and that is going to be codified as well. So I was thinking that it might be a good idea that we include the clarification of not just saying sex, but sexual orientation and gender identity in our new ordinance, our update to the ordinance at the same time as we do the ADA. That was my thought, which is, I believe, going to be ready by next month or possibly very soon. Okay, by June.
Yeah.
Right. Well, next month, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, right. Almost.
Yeah, just a couple of comments, maybe questions. So first off, let me just preface my comments by saying that I don't support any kind of discrimination at all. So my questions or concerns today are not reflective of that. But they do have something to do maybe with some legal questions. So Eric, you mentioned that the town currently does not recognize those two classes specifically. And so one question I have is there a particular reason why it is the way it is today? Is it just oversight, or is there particular reasons why we don't include those?
Well, first, I think it probably goes without saying, because you know how we operate here. Included or not included, it isn't how we operate anyway. As to the reasons why, we had a big revision done in 2012. And at the time, we had some help with it, mm-hmm. outside HR, mm-hmm. Legal expertise. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the recommendation was to keep as is. And that's my recollection, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we proceeded forward, and that's how we arrived at today. Nothing has changed since.
Which sort of goes to my question then, what was behind that recommendation? Were there some specific reasons why that recommendation was made? I mean, there could be some legitimate reasons why. Do we know why? What was behind that recommendation?
I don't know, sir. No. It's too far back.
Okay.
Yes, we'd like to recognize Ms. Councilman Whitley.
Are you done, Bob? Or do you have
a couple other comments?
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So this might be more of a legal question, which sort of goes, is there a reason at the federal level or the state level why these classes are not included? And are there any concerns or any comments about whether having our language here really provides additional protection if it's not recognized at a higher level? So if maybe somebody could address that, I'd be curious to know.
From a federal perspective, yeah. Title VII gives someone a private right of action, so you can file a lawsuit using Title VII as your speed. And right now, federally, the U.S. Supreme Court has refused to hear a case recently out of Georgia where that exact topic of sexual orientation, whether or not it falls under the category of sex, which is already given Title VII protection.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no federal review or decision that drives how we should be proceeding forward. So in that respect, states and local ordinances or municipalities have been taking matters into their own hands, providing these levels of protection. under the ordinance that we're going to be talking about now, it doesn't give someone a private right of action. So you couldn't file a lawsuit and use this ordinance as a basis, but you could come to the city or the town with a complaint, and the town could issue a fine or file an action in civil court for an injunction to stop that kind of behavior if it is indeed considered discriminatory. Right now, we have no guidance from the federal government as to whether or not sexual orientation fall under a protected class.
And how about state level?
State level, no action.
So could you give me an example, perhaps, of if we had this in place in the town, how that would be used, perhaps, or referenced? I'm not clear on what would happen at the town level, as opposed to if the protections didn't extend beyond the town, what would that really mean, other than just having the verbiage in? What's the action that could be taken?
It gives someone the right to file a complaint to the town. The town would investigate it if they determined the bank was refusing to issue a loan based on sexual orientation or gender identity. The town could issue a fine. The town could file an action in civil court to require that the bank give that loan. If it's not based on some legitimate reason, if it's just based on sexual orientation.
And if we did that, would that not be appealed beyond the town? The bank could say, well, that's the town's rule, but it's not supported above that. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking of the logistics of the reality of having this in there. What does it really change if somebody does something that is deemed discriminatory?
Well, I think civilly, the next step would be if the town files an action for a declaratory judgment or an injunction, and the court issues that declaratory judgment that it was discriminatory and requires that the bank provide the funding. The bank could appeal that. It could go up to the Court of Appeals. It could go up to the state Supreme Court. I mean, it just gives someone a little more teeth than they have now, which is not provided. There's no teeth provided by Title VII presently or Title VIII.
Okay. So if we had this language in our HR manual, then, or in ordinances, would it... And then you just said something that struck me, and now I'm thinking, what the heck was it?
Love it when I do that.
Would it require then for us to amend any other ordinances, like to put fines in place or consequences? Would that have to be necessary then to put some teeth behind having a non-discrimination ordinance in place? Otherwise, if there's no teeth behind it, what is it? Like you said, if we wanted to levy a fine against somebody, wouldn't we have to have a new ordinance then written for the town to dictate what that violation is and what the fines are and all of that?
I don't know if we necessarily have to have an ordinance. The municipal court would have to be able to provide some kind of, for the police to have a cause of action to levy the fine against them if it's deemed discriminatory. But no, I don't think there would be any change to an ordinance required.
I guess my concern with some of this is... to have an ordinance without any way of enforcing it, or if it's not enforceable, if it's enforceable locally but not enforceable at levels beyond because it's not in the state law or it's not in federal law. I'm wondering just what the protection really gives us. That's my question.
To clarify that I think we could be going beyond the purpose of bringing this up today. I may be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure what we're trying to do is just make sure that what's already in place, which is already anti-discriminatory, that it's just a little bit more clear that the word sex also refers to sexual identity or preference, and not that we would actually figure out a way to impose more fines or create a new ordinance. It's none of that. So I think, and it's specific to hiring within our own town personnel, and it's also specific to people who are trying to, we're talking about fair housing, so of course that means loans and or being able to purchase real estate. So am I correct that that's pretty much the scope?
And public accommodations.
Right, exactly, public accommodations, which that public accommodations means if someone wants to rent Alhambra Hall or if
right.
They want, right.
And the thing is that the language that is more expansive is already in our ordinances when it comes to public assemblies and parades. So this would just be, filling in the gaps that are there in the system, and it's already there, Bob. So it's not like this is adding something completely new and foreign to our code. So it's something that's already there, has been in place, and hasn't been an issue, but it's there as a protection.
What is the context of what we currently have? You mentioned it's in another place in the code. What is that reference?
It's referencing for if someone comes to the town wanting to do a public assembly, a parade, that the non-discrimination language is basically a repeat of Title VII with the addition of sexual orientation and gender-related issues. So my proposal would be to take that exact language that's already in our code and create new ordinances with respect to public accommodations, fair housing, and then codify our non-discrimination policy within the town. So that it's clear to prospective employees, so that it's clear to prospective businesses who are coming to Mount Pleasant and to individuals coming to Mount Pleasant that we are choosing to say that there's no ambiguity in this town when it comes to how we treat people.
And I get that, and I don't have a problem with that. I guess my concern comes in that it sounds like we are expanding the rights under Title VII within the town. And I'd like to have more conversations about the legalities of expanding rights. Because having a parade is one thing. Talking about loans or contracts or things like that is, to me, a little bit different. That maybe needs a little bit more discussion as opposed to just changing the words. So I'm just got some discomfort around that piece at this point.
When I first Councilwoman Whitley brought this up to me, and I asked the town, I asked staff about this, I said, what is it that we have now versus what we're talking about having? And it was really more just an expansion of what that one word means. It's already there. Mm-hmm. So we're not actually trying to redefine something. We're just making sure, especially in today's world where people are much more sensitive to people's overall needs and concerns, that we just simply make sure that that word. So I'm not sure that it's expanding. What we currently have now does not allow us to discriminate based on all the things that we normally would have heard. It's just taking that one word and making sure it's clear that that also includes. Isn't that correct?
Yes, and certainly I think internally to us here, we do that as behavior.
It's a matter of course.
Behavior, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Rather than ordinance. And so including it throughout our internal documents gives it the power ordinance, meaning council saying this is what will be, and we're obligated to carry that out. But I understand your point too, Mr. Brimmer, about how far outside
right.
does it apply?
Right.
I think that the fact that our peer cities have gone ahead and done this, Charleston, North Charleston, Folly Beach, and then the city of Columbia, our capital, has instituted language with this respect to public accommodations and fair housing. I think that we would just sort of be following their lead and adding our town to that list of towns that has taken this step to reduce any ambiguity and add clarity to the scope of this of our interpretation of it, because it's an open interpretation. I think all courts thus far at the lower levels have held that it does include sexual orientation and gender identity, but it just has never been litigated in the state of in our circuit.
So what is, I know we don't have a motion, but what would be the intent today?
I think for the intent would be to task legal with drafting language for the ordinance, or language that would go in. I guess it would be multiple places in the code that it would go, and then bring that back next month for our review.
I believe, don't we actually have to take it to council first in order for us to ask it to be drafted by legal?
I think if committee would like to initiate that process for council's mm-hmm. consideration, that would definitely be appropriate.
Okay.
But it would take an action of committee to move that forward.
So let me just clarify what I was saying earlier about that you're already working hard right now on a new draft that will be for the ADA compliance and clarification. So could this be just simply combined with that?
If it's okay to wait a couple more weeks when Megan's been working for a long time on some other adjustments to it, mm-hmm. consider them all at one time, and then that way, whatever you said yes to could all be done and then reorganized at one.
As opposed to bringing it twice to council with two different, totally different discussions. Yeah, it definitely should be that all of these things that we're talking about could be clarified and yep. So there's no ambiguity.
That's right.
Okay. So I think the action would still be for council, for committee to task legal with with draft. So I move that we do that, that we task legal with drafting updated ordinance language with regards to our non-discrimination policies as discussed.
Yeah, I'll second that with a comment that my support with that would sort of depend on what the product is. And I would actually welcome a conversation with Mr. Glenn as well to get some of my questions answered in terms of what's happening locally here as well. But I'm certainly happy to move it forward.
We have a motion on the floor and a second for moving action for the staff to draft in addition to our current ordinance related to non-discrimination to include more clear language regarding sexual orientation and gender identity. All in favor? Oh, sorry.
Just for clarification, is this on fair housing as well as equal privilege to public accommodation?
Mm-hmm. And personnel.
Personnel, okay. At the town.
Okay. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 The ayes have it. All right. Is there anything else that anyone wants to bring up today? That's our only last item on the agenda is adjournment, so this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was definitely better.